Welcome to your OCR GCSE Food Prep and Nutrition Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to crack open one of the most important topics on the specification, the environmental impact of food. Whether you're revising for a short answer question or a big extended response, this episode has everything you need. Let's dive straight in. So, why does this topic matter? Food production is one of the biggest contributors to environmental damage on the planet. From the moment a seed is planted to the moment you scrape leftovers into the bin, every step of that journey has an environmental cost. OCR examiners want you to understand that journey, what they call the farm-to-fork journey, and to analyze it critically. That means using precise scientific language, weighing up trade-offs, and showing that you understand the whole life cycle of food, not just one bit of it. Let's start with the two terms you absolutely must know and must never mix up: food, miles, and carbon footprint. Food miles refers specifically to the distance food travels from where it is produced to where it is consumed. So if you buy strawberries that were grown in Spain and flown to a supermarket in Manchester, those strawberries have a high number of food miles. Simple enough. But here's where candidates lose marks. Food miles is only about transport distance. It does not account for how the food was grown, how it was processed, or how it was packaged. Carbon footprint is a much broader concept. It measures the total greenhouse gas emissions produced across the entire life cycle of a food product, including farming, processing, packaging, transport, retail, and disposal. So a tomato grown in a heated greenhouse in the UK might actually have a higher carbon footprint than a tomato grown in the open air in Spain and shipped by lorry, because the energy used to heat that greenhouse releases a huge amount of carbon dioxide. This is a classic exam trap. Candidates assume local always means lower carbon footprint, but that is not always true. Examiners will credit you for explaining this nuance. Now let's talk about farming and production, because this is where the environmental impact really begins. Intensive farming is the dominant method used to produce the vast quantities of food we consume. It involves high-density livestock farming, heavy use of synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, and monoculture crop growing. That's where a single crop is grown over a very large area. The environmental consequences are significant. Livestock, particularly cattle, produce methane during digestion, a process called enteric fermentation. Methane is a greenhouse gas approximately 25 times more potent than carbon dioxide over a 100-year period. This contributes directly to climate change. Fertilizer runoff is another major issue. When nitrogen-rich fertilizers are applied to fields, excess nitrogen washes into rivers and lakes. This triggers a process called eutrophication, where algae grows rapidly, depletes oxygen in the water, and kills aquatic life. If you use the word eutrophication in your exam answer, you will earn credit for precise scientific terminology. Vague phrases like "it pollutes the water" will not earn you the same marks. Intensive farming also reduces biodiversity, the variety of plant and animal species in an ecosystem. Monocultures destroy natural habitats, and pesticides kill not just target pests, but also beneficial insects like bees, which are essential for pollinating crops. Now, organic farming is often presented as the sustainable alternative. And in many ways it is. Organic farms avoid synthetic pesticides and fertilizers, they tend to support greater biodiversity, and they maintain healthier soil. However, and this is important for your evaluative answers, organic farming typically produces lower yields per hectare than intensive farming. This means more land is needed to produce the same amount of food, which can actually result in a higher carbon footprint per kilogram of food produced. So when you're asked to evaluate organic farming, you must present both sides. Let's move on to packaging, because this is another area where candidates often oversimplify. Plastic packaging is frequently described as simply bad for the environment. And yes, plastic contributes to landfill waste, takes hundreds of years to decompose, and causes serious harm to wildlife, particularly in marine environments. However, examiners will credit candidates who recognize the trade-off. Plastic packaging extends the shelf life of food, which reduces food waste. And food waste is itself a significant environmental problem. Rotting food in landfill produces methane. So plastic packaging, by preventing food waste, can actually reduce overall greenhouse gas emissions in some cases. The key skill here is evaluating the trade-off rather than giving a one-sided answer. Biodegradable and compostable packaging is increasingly available as an alternative, but it comes with its own caveats. It often requires specific industrial composting conditions to break down effectively, and it can be more expensive to produce. Now let's talk about seasonality and why it matters for sustainability. Seasonal eating means consuming foods that are naturally available in your country at a particular time of year. In the UK, strawberries are in season in June and July. Asparagus is in season from April to June. Root vegetables like parsnips and swede are in season through autumn and winter. When you eat seasonally, you reduce the need for food to be imported from other countries or grown in energy-intensive heated greenhouses, which lowers both food miles and carbon footprint. Examiners love it when candidates can name specific seasonal foods. So memorize a few. UK strawberries in June, asparagus in April, courgettes in July, apples in September and October, Brussels sprouts in December. These specific examples will earn you marks in extended response questions. Eating seasonally also supports local farmers, reduces packaging requirements for long-distance transport, and generally results in fresher, more nutritious food. However, it does limit consumer choice. You cannot eat fresh British strawberries in January without them being imported or grown in a heated greenhouse. Let's now cover food waste, because it links directly to environmental impact and is a key part of the OCR specification. In the UK, approximately 9.5 million tons of food is wasted every year, according to WRAP, the Waste and Resources Action Programme. Of this, around 70% comes from households. When food ends up in landfill, it decomposes anaerobically, that is, without oxygen, and produces methane, a potent greenhouse gas. This is a direct contribution to climate change. There are two date labels you must know and must not confuse. Use-by dates indicate food safety. Food should not be consumed after this date as it may cause illness. Best before dates indicate quality. Food may still be safe to eat after this date, but may not be at its best in terms of taste or texture. Candidates frequently confuse these, and examiners will penalize this error. A key cause of household food waste is consumers discarding food that is past its best before date but is still perfectly safe to eat. Strategies to reduce food waste include meal planning, batch cooking, using leftovers creatively, composting food scraps, and buying loose produce rather than pre-packaged items with fixed quantities. Now let's move into exam tips and common mistakes, because this is where marks are won and lost. The number one mistake candidates make is being vague. Writing food production is bad for the environment will earn you no marks. You need to specify which aspect of food production, which environmental impact, and the mechanism by which it causes that impact. For example, intensive livestock farming produces methane through enteric fermentation, which is a greenhouse gas that contributes to the enhanced greenhouse effect in climate change. That sentence contains a specific farming method, a specific gas, a specific process, and a specific consequence. That is what earns marks. The second major mistake is conflating food miles with carbon footprint. Remember, food miles is only about transport distance. Carbon footprint covers the entire life cycle. A locally grown tomato in a heated greenhouse can have a higher carbon footprint than an imported one grown in natural sunlight. The third mistake is assuming all plastic packaging is negative. Always acknowledge the trade-off. Plastic extends shelf life and reduces food waste, which has its own environmental benefits. For discuss questions, which are typically worth 6 marks or more, you must present arguments on both sides. Use the PE structure, point, evidence, or example. Explanation. For example, point, intensive farming reduces biodiversity. Evidence, monocultures destroy natural habitats and pesticides kill beneficial insects such as bees. Explanation, this disrupts pollination cycles, threatening the long-term viability of crop production itself. For evaluate or assess questions, you must reach a clear judgment. Don't sit on the fence. State which factor you think is most significant and justify it with evidence. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the difference between food miles and carbon footprint? Food miles measures only transport distance. Carbon footprint measures total greenhouse gas emissions across the entire life cycle of a food product. Question 2. What is eutrophication? It is the process by which fertilizer runoff causes excessive algae growth in water bodies, depleting oxygen and killing aquatic life. Question 3. Name 2 UK seasonal foods and the months they are in season. Strawberries in June and July, asparagus in April to June. Except also, courgettes in July, apples in September and October. Question 4. What is the difference between a use-by date and a best-before date? Use-by indicates food safety. Do not eat after this date. Best-before indicates quality. Food may still be safe after this date. Question 5. Give 1 benefit and 1 drawback of plastic packaging. Benefit extends shelf life, reducing food waste. drawback, contributes to landfill, and takes hundreds of years to decompose. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section before your exam. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points from today. First, always think about the entire life cycle of food, from production through to disposal when answering questions about environmental impact. Second, use precise terminology. Carbon footprint, food miles, eutrophication, biodiversity, greenhouse gases, methane, enteric fermentation, these are the words that earn marks. Third, evaluate trade-offs. Plastic packaging, intensive farming, and imported food all have both costs and benefits. Show the examiner you can see both sides. Fourth, know your seasonal UK foods and use them as specific examples in extended answers. Fifth, never confuse use by with best before. One is about safety, one is about quality. And finally, for any extended response question worth 6 marks or more, use the PEE structure and make sure you reach a clear, justified conclusion. That's it for today's episode. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. Keep revising, keep recalling, and remember, specific knowledge and precise language are your best tools in that exam hall. See you next time.